Julia Cardoso. You're listening to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So for this episode, we're going to hear from Kit Garcia. She's a licensed acupuncturist, herbalist, practicing in Texas for about 10 years. And she's going to talk about like natural remedies to mental illnesses especially talking about using herbs and acupuncture. And you guys will be able to hear her experience about her loved ones with mental illnesses and how she was able to cope with that experience. And this is a really coincidence that her episode will be up today, because there's this little debate going around in my Tumblr about natural remedies, and specifically something called Rescue Remedy. It's something that I've tried and it worked really well. It's from Original Flower Essence. It's from Batch, and it's a natural stress relief. And what it is basically is little drops that you put on your tongue when you feel really anxious, and it's supposed to calm you down, and it has calmed me down. Whether or not it's a placebo effect or if it's bullshit, who cares? It worked for me, and it's not dangerous. It's safe. I asked my doctor about it. I would not recommend this unless you speak to your doctor, but it worked for me, so that's what I'm going to stand by. So let's hear about Kit's experiences. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. All right, so tell us about the work that you do.
Well, my name is Kit Garcia, and I'm an acupuncturist. I work at Dragonfly Wellness Center in Austin, Texas, and I've been doing acupuncture for about 10 years now. I have a science background in chemistry, and I'm also an artist. Great. I just take in clients, and some of the clients do have issues with mental health, but, you know, I take in more than just mental health clients.
Okay, and how did you get interested in this field?
I was in a process of self-healing back in the late 90s, and I'd used acupuncture and herbal medicine to help myself, and it just seemed to be a right thing to do to break my career in chemistry and get another master's degree and learn this new method of healing.
That's great. I've actually tried acupuncture once. It was interesting.
What happened?
I think because I was like scared at first, like I wasn't going into it with a positive mind. So I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. So I think it, me going into it nervous kind of made it worse for me, but I think if I followed up, like, I did feel a little sense of relief when I was done. So, I mean, it did help. And I think it's something that you'd have to do it more than once to really get a feel for it, right?
Well, you definitely need to do it more than once. And depending on what you're using it for, it's often paired off with nutritional changes and with taking extra herbs and supplements.
Okay.
For the best effect.
So, How is acupuncture used to treat mental illnesses?
Normally, acupuncture is not a standalone treatment for any kind of mental illness, depending on the type and severity and what is treated. And my experience is I've treated PTSD, ADHD, anxiety disorders, OCD, mild schizophrenia, bipolar, and depression.
Wow, that's great.
So, I mean, there's other things that I haven't treated before, you know, but those mm-hmm. are the more common ones.
Okay.
But it's definitely the person, if they have a, you know, medium to severe case, they need to be on whatever prescription drugs they're on. We don't advocate them getting off of their prescription drugs. That's between them and their MD.
Okay.
We just assist, and sometimes through using acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine, we can lower the dose. Obviously, the doctor has to decide that, not us. But, okay. You know, the person may need less. And in some cases that are very mild, they may even be able to get off of their medicine.
Okay, that's great. And what kind of, like, herbal practices or herbs do you recommend to your clients, or that they use, or that you're knowledgeable in?
Well, I use both Western herbs and Eastern herbs in my practice. And it just depends on the situation. Let me tell you what a typical acupuncture session is like.
Okay.
Yeah. You go in and you fill out your paperwork, and that can take some time. And then I sit there with you and we have an interview session. And this interview session can last anywhere between 15 minutes to about an hour, depending on, you know, how complicated your case is.
Okay.
Based on that paperwork, we try to fit a, what we look for is patterns. That's how Chinese medicine tends to work. You know, like if you have insomnia, if you have heart palpitations, if you have, you know, a collection of these symptoms, we group it and call it like, you know, kidney not speaking with the heart, or, you know, liver qi stasis. And we have a whole bunch of names for these syndromes. And there, if two people can come in and they both have, say, anxiety or depression, and they could have totally two or more different types of, you know, a Chinese medicine diagnosis.
Okay, so...
And they would require different herbs, is what I'm saying. And there's not a, you know, this one herb. Like, Western medicine is all about, well, if you have a cold and flu, just take echinacea. And it's just like this one herb used for a one thing. Okay. That's not how Chinese medicine works. And that was kind of hard to explain that part. But, yeah, you get a diagnosis, and then... you get your needlework done, and then you get, if you need an herbal prescription, which if you're coming in for mental illness issues, you will probably get an herbal prescription and any dietary changes that need to be made.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, a typical session can last about an hour and a half, maybe up to 2 hours for your first session, and then following sessions, because you'll probably need follow-up, is about 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and people who are very severe need to come in one time a week or more, and people who are not, you know, very severe may need less sessions than that, or space them further apart.
So it's not like one, it's really individualized, like this person is dealing with these symptoms, this is what we're going to do for them, and it's not like, oh, this person has depression and we're just going to put needles in them. So that's what I'm understanding,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's very holistic and very individualistic.
That's great.
Depending on the person.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask, like, you spoke about this, like, compared to Western treatments, it's really, I don't feel like Western treatments are really individualistic, because it's just like, you know, take this medication to deal with these symptoms, but there's a lot more that ties into a diagnosis. So that's really great.
Yeah.
So how many patients do you usually see, like, in a day or in a week?
That just depends on the client load. I have an online kind of computerized scheduler, so clients get in when they need to, but as a result, you know, my day can start off with zero and end up with eight people trying to clamor in.
Yeah.
And you just don't know, but, I mean, a typical day is, like, you know, 4 to 8 people.
Okay. And you work in a hospital setting, or what kind of environment are you in?
I have a private practice, and I work at a wellness center.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not employed by the wellness center. I'm a standalone practitioner. This is my own practice. I can take it anywhere, you know?
Okay, that's great.
One of the interesting things about my practice is that it can be used for acupuncture and herbal medicine, can be used very safely with people with mental health challenges. And I just kind of want to get the message out there because, you know, typical clients come in and they're mostly looking for either like back pain relief, or they're looking for, you know, help with their female problems. Those are the typical clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't realize that you can use acupuncture and herbal medicine for things like, you know, anxiety or depression even.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And a change in diet can sometimes help with that too. I also I have no problem with referring people to doctors or to getting health screens, like to make sure their vitamin D levels are normal. So, because when vitamin D levels go off, you know, people can have all sorts of depression and really weird symptoms that,
right,
you know, mimic depression and stuff. And like, again, I work very closely with doctors to make sure that, you know, everything's going to be okay. So,
right. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I think I might try another session of acupuncture now that I've learned a little bit more from you, because I was a little skeptical at first. To me, it was just, I didn't know, does it hurt or how is it going to feel? The only thing that, when I did it, the only thing that bothered me was the one, they were fine. I didn't hurt at all. The only thing that bothered me is the one, she put one like in between, in my chest, like in between my breast, I think it was. It was like in the middle of my chest.
Oh yeah, and yeah, that's a very good point for like calming the mind.
Yeah, and at the time I was dealing with heart palpitations, so I felt really uncomfortable with that being there, so I had them take it out, because I don't know, I just didn't want anything near my chest, or I don't know, it was just me being nervous. So but I did feel a lot more relaxed once I left, so that was good.
Oh, that's great.
But I think the whole thing with me being like skeptical is just nervous to try new things. You know, we're always, well, me, I'm always nervous to try a new, like I tried, I'm doing St. John's Wort now. I just started it like yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see.
are you doing St. John's Wort for
anxiety?
Oh, okay. Is it St. John's Wort, in my opinion, I know some people are using it for like depression and stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of works better for immune system boost.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that too.
Because
I don't take...
And it's not meant for like long-term use. You don't have to break it up.
Yeah.
Well, a common deficiency that helps a lot of people with anxiety, and it's definitely not a cure. It's... I mean, I'd have to see you, you know, just to in person to know what's going on and whatever, but magnesium deficiency is very common.
Oh, yeah, I take that, too.
Yeah, it actually can stop heart palpitations and
I wrote a post about this, but I was taking magnesium for the heart palpitations for about, I think, like 6 months, and then, like, over the summer, like, I just kind of forgot to take them. So my heart palpitations went away. Like, I didn't get one for months, and then I stopped taking it, and I realized they came back recently, and I know that it's the magnesium that made it stop. So I'm back on it now.
Yeah, no, magnesium's so powerful that they actually use it in hospitals in, like, a drip IV situation that even stops seizures.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's how powerful it is. And
that's
people
great.
Are like, oh, well, this is just, like, you know, some random thing. My advice to you is whatever magnesium form you're taking, make sure it's not magnesium oxide on the back, because the oxide doesn't digest really well, so you're not getting a lot of it. It's
okay.
You're going to go run and look at it now.
I'm writing it down. And how do you – I know a lot of people on even a lot of people on my Tumblr always, like, wondering, like, about vitamins and what they should take and supplements, stuff like that. And do you think that taking a multivitamin with certain things in it, like with magnesium in it, is that, do you think that it won't be as helpful, right? Obviously not, right?
Well, okay, here's the thing. I mean, like I said, everybody's case is individual, and definitely if you're taking, you know, any kind of pharmaceutical, you need to consult with your doctor first. But let's pretend you did all that stuff first.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with multivitamins is that the people who compound the vitamins, they oftentimes put very conflicting minerals together and conflicting vitamins that work against each other.
Oh.
And so you're taking this multivitamin thinking that you're getting the best of everything, when in fact a lot of multivitamins don't have magnesium because they leave it out because it makes it so big that you need to take like 6 horse pills. So they're like, oh, here's this little compact thing. And, you know, you're, like, a common thing is, like, people put folic acid in with the vitamins and folic acid.
Yeah, mine has that.
Can make some people sick, and people need to take methylfolate instead of folic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people who are sensitive to the B12 form, the cyanocobalamin, need to not be taking that because it contains small amounts of cyanide. And for normal people, yeah, you can detox small amounts of cyanide, no problem. You know, cyanide is naturally found in apple seeds and almonds, you know.
Okay.
A small amount won't kill you if you're a normal person, but if you're suffering any other health problems that, you know, or you're a smoker or something, you don't need that extra cyanide.
Right.
And you should seek out, you know, a better form. And so, you know, I can't recommend any particular multivitamins. And I've seen lots of poor formulations of multivitamins actually not injure people, but compromise people's health. And I've had to yank some people off of their vitamins after I sent them for health screening and had to talk with their doctor about it.
Okay.
It's kind of pretty scary, but vitamins in general, like, you know, you should try to get your stuff from food, but vitamins are a good support, and supplements are a very good support for what you can do for yourself. I think the main thing, especially, you know, a lot of people who do have, like, depression, and even people with, you know, schizophrenia and other stuff like that, is stay off of sugar and people with, like, mania cases, stay off of caffeine.
Right.
or at least reduce it to a normal amount, because the amount of caffeine that you take can affect your pharmaceutical medicine, as well as, like, yeah, definitely. And I can also give you some tips for finding a good acupuncturist, too.
Okay. What are some tips to finding a good acupuncturist?
Well, some people try acupuncture and then they hate it. And, you know, common reasons that they hate the acupuncture was they felt like they didn't get along with their acupuncturist. Or, you know, they felt like the needles hurt. They felt like their acupuncturist was trying to sell them a bunch of stuff besides the acupuncture. These are like some common complaints. Number one, in your area, because each state has different licensing requirements, make sure they're licensed acupuncturists. So that's step one. They should have some kind of number or certification or something to show that they're licensed to practice there. There may be some states that don't have licensed acupuncturists, in which case you're going to have to go to the adjacent state or something.
Mm-hmm.
So step one, make sure they're licensed. Step two, make sure they have some years of experience behind them. I mean, you could get lucky and find somebody who's, you know, fresh out of acupuncture school, happens to be a genius or whatever. Chances are you're going to probably want somebody with at least more than 5 years of experience. Yes, it will cost more, but chances are if you live in a big city, you're going to be able to find a Groupon or some other social coupon thing that will be able to give you a chance to try that person first.
Okay.
And then if you like them, continue using their services, you know. Obviously, word of mouth is a good one as well. If you are money challenged and, you know, can't afford a really good acupuncturist, a good tip is to see if your city has a local acupuncture school.
Okay.
And see if you can get in as kind of a test case, because, like, there will be student interns there, and sometimes, like, you want to be the one that's going to get punctured by, obviously, the professor of the case, but you're going to have, like, you know, 50 people staring at you, but
right.
if you don't care, then that's still, you're still getting a quality service.
Exactly.
And that will either be cheap or discounted or even free in some cases, you know, especially if you have an interesting illness that people want to see.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that you can do, is just you ask your acupuncturist questions, you know, make sure they're using good quality needles, ask them what brand of needles that they use and stuff like that. You just don't want cheap needles that can break off and stuff, because people are trying to save money.
Right.
Yeah, so you can be suspicious if your acupuncture session is way too cheap compared to, like, call around and ask what the average, you know, what their prices are, and you just kind of get an average for your area. And if you find somebody who's way too cheap, you can suspect that either they're operating out of their house, or not that that's necessarily a bad thing, you know, in some areas, because in some rural areas, that's sort of normal.
Okay.
But in a city setting, that would be abnormal, you know, a little bit abnormal. You know, make sure they have all their certifications, aren't using cheap needles, and the place is relatively clean where you're getting your acupuncture, you know, that'll help. You don't want to go to somebody who's going to set you up in a session and then leave you there for 30 minutes under a heat lamp.
That's what they did to me, actually. She just went in, put the needles in me, left for like 15 minutes, and I'm like, this is my first time. Can you, like, you know? And then another person came in, put some more, and then they left for another 15 minutes, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, I'm doing acupuncture.
See, I would not go back to somebody like that, because you know why? You could have a panic attack in there.
Right.
While 15 minutes while they're gone. If they have a heat lamp on you, they could burn you, potentially.
Right.
I mean, that's just so wrong.
And I think maybe it's also because that I did it in the hospital. I think it probably...
Oh.
Yeah. So I think if I did it somewhere else, that's maybe a private practice, it would have been a lot better, but...
Okay. Yeah, that could also be an issue, too. Hospital practices are different than... private practice.
Right.
Sometimes they work on you in sort of a triage setting, so there's like a community style acupuncture where there's like lots of people in the room, and you're having, you know, to get punctured in with a bunch of weird strangers, and you know, it just depends. Those sessions tend to be less expensive though.
Yeah,
they're not supposed to leave you for prolonged periods of time by yourself, but I know that that tends to happen in a busier practice where they will double or triple book clients.
Okay.
So you want somebody who's, and let them know too, say like, I have anxiety and stuff when I'm left by myself in a room, you know, in the dark, and I need someone to come check on me and not leave me in her heat lamp for 30 minutes by myself.
Exactly.
That's also important. So, you know, definitely next time with your next acupuncturist, set up that dialogue that you need that.
Okay.
Each person needs different things. I mean, I do it old school. I mean, I don't even answer the phone when I'm in session with a client.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to, you know, they're my focus when I'm in session. And yeah, it costs more than some other place, but you pay for that quality.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's definitely another issue that has people like, mm-hmm. You know, and just make sure you get along with that person. You don't want to talk to somebody that makes you feel a little creepy or weird or, you know, and obviously if you're seeing an opposite sex acupuncturist or, you know, or one of your same sex, depending on how weird that'll be for you, if they're having to do acupuncture on a kind of private area, you know, make sure there's someone else in the room, or you know,
okay.
Or you can tell them, they usually will announce, well, I have to do acupuncture in this area, and it's going to require you to, you know, display this area, and you're going to have to negotiate that on your comfort level terms.
Exactly.
They will try to drape you, I mean, but don't love it. Just remember, the main thing is that when you're coming in to see an acupuncturist, you're the person in power, even though it may feel like the acupuncturist is in power and they have all these powers. You're the one that gets to call the session, so if you feel uncomfortable, you need to call them out on it immediately.
Okay.
That's the main advice I would definitely give people.
All right, those are some great tips. I will definitely be considering them when I'm going again. Thanks a lot for the help.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks.
And I really appreciate this.
Same here.
Okay, take care,
right.
Julia.
Have a good day.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all for listening. Hope you tune in next time. And you can contact me on Twitter at anxioussurvivor. I'm on Gmail at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. You can also check out my website at anxiousrambling.squarespace.com for all the podcasts and other things that I'm working on. From the next episode, we're going to hear from Becky, and she's going to be speaking about schizoaffective disorder and her experience as an inpatient receiving inpatient treatment. Hope to hear from you next time. Thank you.